Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Blossom Goodchild, and I welcome her return. And on an interesting point here, I think Blossom has possibly just had her breakfast. She's already into Saturday. I could well be having my supper if I wasn't on the radio, and I guess a lot of our listeners would have just about be having their lunch. So what would we do without the satellite link? Welcome to the program, Blossom.
Thank you very much indeed, Mike. How are you?
Very well, yes. Enjoying myself. You're coming over so loud and clear, I cannot believe it. Sometimes on...
Well, I'm actually in the next room. I'm just going to jump in and surprise you.
Well, to be honest, you could well be. I'm just finding it unbelievable that we have such a good link here. But that's wonderful.
Yeah,
now,
great.
I must start the program just with a few questions about the fame that you had for a few weeks regarding the October sighting. What I want to ask you really is about the after effects. Looking back, do you think you were prepared for people's reactions, whether they were positive or otherwise?
To be honest, Mike, I don't really know what I was expecting, because I think it was such a huge lead-up and build-up to it all, and we were all, you know, waiting with bated breath, and when it did or didn't take place in whichever way we had expected, I think, to be honest, I think I was very shocked to the negative effect that people decided to give me. I mean, not everybody. I'll get on to the positive. I'll just quickly get rid of the negative. But I think a lot of the world was very surprised at how it brought so much hatred out in so many people and aimed it at poor little me. It was unbelievable, the things and the kind of emails I received. I mean, you know, I won't go into it because it's really not worth it, but it was really a huge wake-up call for many people to see that there were so many people that were still asleep, really, and it brought out their hatred. So in a way, in a sense, it was good in a way that we were able to then think, well, those people, we need to send them some golden rays, because clearly they're not in a very nice place within themselves. But so to leave that side, and I still get things now, you know, it makes me, and but I just have become very strong and able to laugh it off. But on the very positive side, I was able to come back and pull myself together so quickly because of the love and the emails and all sorts that were sent to me. It just blew me away, and the knowing that there was so much love and light in the world, and people saying to me, don't give up, you know, carry on, and just so encouraging and fantastic. It just, you know, it took me on a whole new journey, and as I say, it just enabled me to have the strength to carry on, because it seemed that so many people wanted me to do so, you know, so it was just, my soul grew an awful lot in those few weeks.
It had to, didn't it? Yes. Well, I think myself, looking back, clearly a number of people on the positive side were expecting, for one reason and another, something like that to come up. But I guess what it has done, it's travelled a bit further and woken up a few more people to the possibility of this contact eventually taking place. So in that respect, I guess the publicity it got, in some ways, hasn't really done any harm at all. It's possibly done a lot of good, as you say. It's been a wake-up call of a kind for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had emails from people who said, you know, have written to thank me because just by literally looking up at the stars at night and beginning to do that had obviously, you know, wakened their soul. And, I mean, I don't know of this, of any proof at all, Mike. We don't have proof, but somebody who I trust greatly with their, connection to spirit, recently, told me, via spirit, it that that message has got out to 1,250,000,000 people, and that it actually helped raise the vibration of the planet. And if that was what its purpose was, then, you know, we all did very well. And perhaps it was preparation for people. That, you know, there are many, many things that have come to me, that the whys and wherefores of it. And, I feel it is still up there. I don't have any proof, nor does anybody, but I think the whole message seemed to enable people to be able to speak about such things in their workplace. It just seemed to, I think it did, in the end, a lot more good than it did harm.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I believe that entirely. And I think even for those who somehow found reasons to object to it, that also makes them look at their own belief system, I mean, rightly or wrongly, but it always brings into question people's beliefs, and that can't be a bad thing. Now, just as almost a final comment on that, what is the current situation? I mean, I believe you've had less contact with these people who called themselves the Federation of Light. So where do you stand at the moment?
I began channeling with them again, but I think it was about 2 weeks after October the 14th, and those channelings went up twice weekly, weekends on my website, up until, I think it was just before, a couple of weeks before Christmas, and they said they were just going to cease communicating for a little while, which they did, and that often happens. I think the body needs, my body or whatever, needs a break. For whatever reasons, they decided not to channel for a while. They said that, you know, we all need to grow and assess where we're at, etc. And then they came back channeling last weekend, I think it was, which was great to have, you know, just to have that feeling back. And you know, so many people were hanging out ready for them, saying when are they coming back, etc. So I started channeling again last weekend, and they came through. It was just lovely. So I hope, I don't know whether they'll be communicating with me on the same regular basis. I'm not really sure. That's something I'll just have to wait and see, because, you know, I tried a few times to see if they were there over the last, they were away for 9 weeks, but, you know, nothing came through at all. You can't force those things, so you just accept that they'll come back when it was the appropriate time to do so.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning here that when you had contact with these people, I mean, for you, it was a wonderful, positive energy, and I also bear in mind, and I think I'm correct on this, that your other contact, or one of your other contacts, your regular one, White Cloud, is also what is called your gatekeeper, and presumably wouldn't have allowed you to be falsely brought into contact with people that weren't genuine.
Yeah, I think that's, thanks, Mike. I think that's a very sort of valid point, because obviously I had many emails from, you know, people with good intention, but who don't know me at all, and who sort of assumed that I either hadn't protected myself properly or whatever the situation, and that clearly, you know, I'd been misguided and had got in with the wrong bunch type thing. And, you know, of course I questioned that. Of course I didn't just nonchalantly pass these things off, but I did, you know, I had a very sort of deep communication with White Cloud, who I trust enormously and would have to be burnt at the stake, you know, and set on fire indeed, because I trust him, his truth and his integrity, everything. And he definitely confirmed to me in the most beautiful way that that it was fine to go on channeling the Federation of Light, because they were of truth. And once I knew from White Cloud that I'd, you know, all was well, then there is, in such a beautiful clarification, then there's no way now that I ever sort of question, or because I did, of course, because, you know, it was quite a knock that my soul got from many people, and so of course I had to just check out for myself, and indeed for everybody else. I didn't want to be kidding myself or anybody, so I feel very, very secure in what I do as my truth, and of course everybody must follow their own truth. So that's up to the individual as to what their thoughts are and to do with my channeling and where it comes from. But indeed,
absolutely,
it seems many,
yeah,
many people, like I'm pleased to say, you know, really resonate with the truth. Many people say whenever they read the channelings, they seem to cry a lot. And because it must resonate with their soul. So if it's doing that for a lot of people, then I feel that, you know, you can't ask for more than that, really.
No. I think sometimes recognising the truth within is a very emotional thing. Now,
absolutely.
We'll leave the Federation of Light then to continue contacting you. I'd like to just go over your early days. For the sake of anybody who is listening in who didn't hear the last broadcast or who may not have read all your stuff on your website. But before we do that, what are your expectations for the years now leading up to 2012?
Ooh, mine personally are just to go with the flow. I think we all need to think about that, because, you know, there is so much information on the internet now about 2012, and it really is a question of take your pick and see what suits you. You know, there's so many conflicting stories and as to what is going to happen, and there's a lot of fear mongering out there as also. And you know, I think it's very important for people not to focus on that, but to focus on, well, really to while people are searching for what they want, to focus, you know, to find what, again, what resonates with them and to follow that. Because the Federation very clearly last weekend was talking about 2012 and saying, you know, there's all this speculation about what it's going to be, and I'm not knocking that in any shape or form, but really if it is truth, which I believe it is, that thought creates reality, then it is up to us, is what they're saying, to create our own 2012. And what we visualize it to be, by making this world a better place and being an example of love and light, is what 2012 is going to be. And I think the more people wake up and concentrate on being loved towards each other, then for me, I think that is what we should focus on. And that ascension, everybody's talking about the ascension, and to be honest, Mike, how do we really know what that ascension is until it happens? So I think we need to focus on reality of Earth and being an example of love, because although I do believe it's very much connected with other beings from other realms and places, what they are actually coming through for to so many people and channeling is to teach us more about awakening ourselves to be a higher vibration of love, which I believe is what will take us into this new world of 2012.
It's a nail on the head, as they say, because it is about raising our consciousness, and the more light we can bring to earth and ground, the more the, if you like, the end of this cycle of duality and the beginning of the new one, although there isn't an end and a beginning in the strictest sense, will be a nice fluid movement.
Transition.
And we will just go through into those higher states of being.
Yeah. You know, I feel, you know, to deal with the, or, you know, I have letters from people who are so afraid because of what they've read on the net to do with the darker side of what might happen. And it's like, well, really, we just need, I feel that the message here is for people to understand that if you focus on it, that's what you're going to attract to yourself.
Absolutely.
So the more people can understand that what you focus on is what you bring into your own personal life, if we all learn and teach others to focus on a most, you know, what is the best world you can imagine and focus on bringing that to you. Well, if everybody in the world did that, you know, we would then be creating this beautiful new world that I, you know, as I said, that I believe we're all ascending into. And I don't know how, I don't think anybody can actually say this is what's going to happen, because it's like with many things, we don't really know. And it's, I believe it's happening already, and yet we're still living our everyday lives. And, you know, as I think it is, hopefully, it'll just be a smooth transition. And will it be that one day we go, oh, we're here then. The bus has arrived. I mean, none of us really know, do we?
No. Well, spirit tell us ascension is a process, which we are already in. But if we could reach that level that you've just mentioned, that level of where everybody could give out the love, I think we would be there within the next 15 minutes.
Exactly. That is exactly it. So I think that's why, you know, there is so many people waking up, and so much about the ascension and all this sort of thing is now coming into play, because it is, you know, White Cloud once said that, you know, 2012 is a date that's given, but if everybody, as you say, chose to do this today, and, you know, it doesn't have to be 2012, it could be 2010, it could be 2020. Depending on how we as a human being, race, consciousness, choose at what speed to bring ourselves into it, really. It is, I feel it is up to us. And I feel that each one of us that is here has volunteered and very blessed to be chosen to be here and anchor this purer love into the earth. And, you know, I think it's great that we're all waking up and getting on and doing so.
Absolutely, yes. I think it just comes down to the fact that you get what you envision, what you desire, and if there are people that have no attraction to the idea of lifting their consciousness or moving into the higher dimensions, then they create their own reality, which goes in a different direction.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also there are lots of people who, you know, are full of love and light, but they don't necessarily know they're awake. You know, they wouldn't say, oh, they understand spiritual matters, or they're not spiritual, or whatever it may be, but just they are within themselves a natural example of that love and light. And, you know, I don't know, again, I don't know for sure, but, you know, I feel that then that's still fine, because they will be moving up, and then suddenly it will be this very quick awakening for them, because they're sort of, they're walking in a dream world in a sense, but they are being who they should be, as opposed to not being awake and sort of focusing more on negative energy and behaving so, you know. But let's hope that the more and more people that can spread the word, you know, will bring more and more people, obviously, into the, which will make it all the more, you know, happen more quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the light is spreading the information very rapidly, and it grows, as the famous word goes, exponentially. The more people that spread it, then much faster it goes. Anyway, that's enough comment on that for the moment. I want to go back to your sort of early days, which, of course, wasn't very long ago. I hoped you'd say that. I mean, you were interested in the spiritual movement since your early 20s, which is what I meant. That wasn't long ago. And
yesterday, I think it was, yes.
Was it? Yeah. You are both, aren't you? Dear me. And I've seen your photograph as well. Now, for 20 years... For 20 years, now let's be serious about it, you suffered, I find this a surprising thing, you suffered from stress, although you tell us you were feeling positive and on top of the world, which seems a funny type of stress, but apparently you said you then collapsed in a sort of semi-coma, and I guess at times you couldn't open your eyes. Now, later, what did a clairvoyant channeling white cloud tell you what your problem was?
Well, she, these, you know, the doctors called them anxiety because they, attacks because they simply couldn't put, find out what was the matter. You know, I had brain scans and et cetera. And I was having a reading with a clairvoyant at the time, and, she said, you know, I have an Indian here with you, and I'd done a little, you know, minute bit, Mike, of healing, and I was aware of a Native American standing behind me in my mind's eye. And when I was having this reading with this lady, she, this was about 10 years ago, she said, you know, look, I have your Indian here. Is there a question you want to ask? And I was like, yes, what is the matter? Because this has gone on for 17 years intermittently. And he said that it was a build-up of energy, and it just sort of basically fused me out. And so I'd fall on the floor and be in a sort of comatose state for 20 minutes, half an hour at a time, for on and off. And so in the end, it was basically I was having another attack of these... of these attacks, and she was living with us, this lady at the time, and she said, look, I've got your Indian, this is about 6 months later, I've got your Indian here with me, and he won't go away, and he's saying that he's so frustrated because he needs to speak with you, and would I get a pen and paper, and he would just communicate with me. And so, and this sort of thing, you know, because I've been interested in the spiritual movement for 20 odd years, and very into all these things, I didn't think, oh, that's very strange, I'm not going to do that. It was, I was like, oh, all right. So I literally sort of started writing in this book. I, you know, just said, look, I don't know what I'm supposed to be writing here. And instantly, these thoughts, it was that first time when I connected with him in that way was purely telepathically. And I just wrote the pages and pages because I couldn't write quick enough and all this information was coming through. And White Cloud then said to me that we had agreed to do this many moons ago, and that he had, if I was still happy to do so, he wanted to actually speak through me and use my body, and if I and I, of course, I agreed to do it. And from that day onwards, writing in that book, I never, and that was 10 years ago, I've never had an episode of the attacks since. And he has sort of explained over the years exactly what was happening to my body while that was going on, and how it was being rewired and re-energized in order for my body to be able to deal with the process of other energies speaking through my voice box, etc.
Yeah. And of course, he told you also that what you were writing would also be issued in books.
That's right. You know, he said, would I use, I've forgotten what term he used, but would I make sure they were recorded because it was going to be written into a book. And, you know, Mike, at the time, it was all very new to me, and I was like, yeah, right, you know. And little did I know, you know, and I thought, well, I better get going with this book. And really, the first book and the second, there are three books now by which I've published for with White Cloud Wisdom in it. And it just amazes me because it was something I never thought I'd do. Well, I can't really claim to be the author, because White Cloud really is the author. It's just all the messages he's given through that are then transcribed into book form for others to, you know, to gain wisdom. Because basically White Cloud, what he teaches, it's just a beautiful way of living, really. It explains to us how to live on this planet, because sometimes it is very difficult, I feel. So he just has a lovely way of expressing that and helping us to find our way.
Yes. Now, that all started in 1999, is that correct?
I think it was 97. Oh, no, it can't be. Where are we now? Oh, I don't know. It's terrible. I think it's around. I know that coming up in this June, I think it'll be 10 years. So, so it will be 1999.
How did I know?
It doesn't take a rocket scientist, does it?
Right.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. Now, when you give your personal readings, I know you also do group readings as well. If I understand this correctly, White Cloud comes through you as a direct voice. Is that so?
Yes. Yes. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yes.
And yes, he... Yes. That's why you asked, I'm sure. He does. It's a very strange thing, and it's very difficult to explain, because I can't really put into words the process and how we actually work together. I know I believe it still happens now, but definitely in older times, people used to go into, be called a trance medium, and they would actually leave their body and allow another energy to come in and take over the body fully, so that when that had finished taking place, they would come back in their body and have no idea of what had been said or what had happened. That certainly doesn't happen to me, and with all respect to those who it does, I wouldn't want it to happen to me. So I stay on the left-hand side. It's a definite distinction of I am in the left-hand side of my brain, and white cloud or whatever energy it may be these days that white cloud allows through comes through into the right side. And somehow we meet in the middle, and it's as the energy is coming in, it's very there's a lot of breathing, deep breathing, etc., that just happens automatically, and shuddering of my body. It's not terribly attractive at all. And then when he's ready, I really know, you know, I can then say to him in my head, right, are we ready to go, mate? You know, and he'll say, you know, he'll just say yes when he's ready. And now, because we've worked together for 10 years, it's quite a easy process, that he just then starts speaking in a much not as deep a voice as he used to. When he first came through, I couldn't move any of my body, and it was a very deep, slow voice, and then the whole process. But as we've learned to work together, it's much more on the same octave, I would say, as my voice, although it is deeper, and still with a broken accent. And without doubt, you know, as people say, there's no way, you know, it's definitely him that's speaking to them, as opposed to me. You know, there is a definite change in the whole energy of him when he's speaking, you know.
Right. Now, you say that when he does personal readings, that is on a soul level. Do you mean by that that he doesn't cover very ordinary, everyday problems, or does he actually deal with anything that the client wants to know?
What he does is, at the end of the, towards the end, he will ask them if there's a question they want to ask, and more often than not they say, well, I did have, but I don't anymore, because he's covered it. But he doesn't, it isn't in the sense of, you know, as if you can go to some people and the reading would be conducted in the way that they'd say, oh, look, I see that in 2 years' time you're going to be moving around the corner to number 9, and, you know, and you're going to meet the man of your dreams and win the lottery. It isn't sort of, with all respect, it isn't on those levels at all. He speaks in metaphors, so he would show to me, he would say, I'm showing to Blossom an image of, and it might be a fan heater, you know, I've got no idea what it would be. And from that, he then says, you know, on the fan heater there is the switch is, the connection isn't working, and he will just tell this whole story, and I'll watch it develop in my head as he speaks it, and I'm shown the pictures. And that story relates to that person who's having the reading, and more often than not, they can understand exactly what he's talking about as to what is happening within their life at the moment, or has happened, or indeed is going to happen. And he might spend a whole reading on one particular picture that he started with, or he will go to many, many pictures and tell little stories to do that, so that it covers, you know, a great variety. It's, you know, they definitely say this, you know, that he hit the nail on the head, and he definitely uses things that they can relate to. You know, like some, for instance, somebody, he showed a donkey, you know, when you buy a donkey when you that you carry under your arm with a straw hat on in Spain or something like that. And he showed me one of these and said a story about that. And I thought, well, that's a bit bizarre. But the lady said afterwards that literally this, you know, somebody had sent her one of these donkeys. So he always, you have, as bizarre as it is to me, he always uses something that people go, wow, that, you know, I've got one of those in my bedroom, or whatever it is. It's always very, he uses things to help them connect with themselves.
Yeah. So, in fact, you get a continual series of pictures as the sort of reading goes on. There's no sort of bravery.
Yeah, I mean, once he's been... Sorry?
Yeah, there's no break at all in it. You just get one picture after.
No, I mean, once he's finished of one story, then, you know, it's I know that, oh, that's the end of that then, and then there's a little pause, and then I'll see something else. And it's so random that I know that that's what the... that's what we're about to go off on, you know, and right. Off, you know, he'll now say, I'm now showing to blossom a banana, or whatever it is, and I just have to go with it, because when I see images sometimes, I think, what on earth are we going to talk about with this? But it just amazes me, Mike, how the story evolves, and, you know, as it goes on, I just think, God, you're so clever, White County, you are so clever, because it's just amazing how it all ends up happily ever after, so to speak.
Right. So is what you see inside what one might describe as a sort of small TV screen?
I suppose, really, it's the image I see is literally that. It's a black void, I suppose, and then that image will appear. And sometimes, in the early days, when I first started reading, I've had maybe three or four images, and I think, well, which one does he mean? Which one does he mean? And then the one that he wanted to start off with would then come to the forefront. Whereas now, because we've learnt so well to work with each other, there's just that one image. I know that's what, you know, I trust that. I allow him to give that, and off we go. But sometimes, you know, there are other energies now, very much so within the last 5 or 6 years of working, there are other energies that come through to speak with that soul who's having the reading. And so White Cloud will allow them in, and that now we have learned it works a lot better. That now happens right at the beginning of the reading. So so that, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but that we can get that out of the way. Then once that energy is left, then, you know, White Cloud and I can just carry on without, you know, with no offence, without the interruptions, because when another energy is wanting to come in, if they do it halfway through, they're sort of knocking on the door all the way through up until then. So we realise it's best to get that done first of all, and then that's sorted, and we can go on interrupted without being interrupted.
Yeah. Are you talking about the energy that you called other beings?
Yes, because it varies, obviously, from reading to reading. Sometimes, and can I just say, Mike, that, you know, it sounds like I do thousands of readings. I really don't. It seems to be that I have maybe, you know, I have one on Monday, and then my next one's not till April the 8th. You know, I think it's because of the energy that it involves, and maybe I'll get a couple more in between them, but it's certainly, I maybe get one a fortnight, if that. The energy, I think, involved in readings, it's just not suitable, and that's why I'm not sent that many, I guess. I don't know. But obviously, to each person that comes, sometimes it is just White Cloud, but these days it is either, I would put it in the terms of either a cosmic energy coming through to speak with that soul, or a more higher, angelic guide or being in that sense of an energy.
Right.
There's a definite distinction.
You said that one of the first energies that you received was the friendships. Do they still come through, or have they disappeared?
Not that I'm aware of, to be honest, and because also, it's very difficult to describe, really, because I haven't actually done, you know, when we say the group meetings, what actually it is that I've, in the last year, I went out and I was asked by Spirit to talk myself in the evenings to people. So I would talk as myself, although I feel definitely I was consciously channeling for an hour, and then I do an hour's channeling, direct voice channeling. And definitely, you know, White Cloud would always be there first of all. But other energies would come through. And to be honest, I don't know if there's what we, in the early days, called the friendships. We needed a name for these beings that came through, and we called them, and they seemed very happy with that, that we called them the friendships. It's more so of an energy that comes through that seems to me to be very similar, and of the same energy. And when we're talking of a cosmic, for want of a better word, be energies. And they speak as, sometimes when they're speaking, they say we, and sometimes that same energy will say I. But it is definitely more of a consciousness, of a group of beings. Now, as ridiculous, well, not to you, but to some people, as it may sound, I feel perhaps that group consciousness is perhaps from a particular planet or vibration, and then another cosmic energy that might come through may feel very similar to me, but there is a difference. Do you see what I'm saying? It's very, that they don't, you know, they don't come through and go, hello, it's Pete. Hello, it's Mary. They don't sort of give names, really. It's just more of a feeling of the difference in energy, although there is a similarity.
Yeah. Now, you are a healer, but does White Cloud do healing through you?
Yes, that's how I work with him, by him doing the healing. Sometimes in a reading, at the end of a reading, he would say to somebody, you know, could I have your permission to do some healing? And whenever I do healing, I tune in and White Cloud, it's his energy, I presume, along with the divine energy that flows through. And that really is what we call, you know, people call, I believe, hands-on, although it's hands-off because I don't actually touch anybody, but it's just the energy coming through my hands. And also, I was given by the same lady that said, you know, you need to write in a book, White Cloud's here. She gave me a medicine rattle 10 years ago, which she, I believe, had made, and it's beautiful, and it's got crystal chips and feathers from America and all this beading. It's beautiful. And when she gave it to me, she said, you know, you will be using this. I thought, I don't think I will. But it was because everything was so new to me, and I couldn't see myself at the time, you know, being White Cloud and using this medicine rattle. I thought, God, what next, you know? But I over the years, I have definitely, you know, he uses this rattle a lot, and it seems that and when he's very much in working with me, and we take hold of the rattle, it's sort of, from my point of view, I really let myself go and let White Cloud take over, and it takes off on a life of its own, this rattle, and it seems to, it really works very strongly, and it's as if it's collecting, what I feel is happening is if it's collecting negative energy. And then he shakes it from, you know, behind me. It's shaken as if the energy has been shaken out. And that goes on in all over the body and in particular places that obviously need healing. And then at the bottom of the rattle, it's got some little bells. And so, when all that negativity is brought out, then everything just goes very, very peaceful. And he just rattles these bells all around your body. And it's just beautiful. It's a really very peaceful process, you know. So yeah, that's quite different, you know, I think. But I have got very used to using the rattle now, and people must think what they choose to think, really.
Interesting. You've mentioned that White Cloud has spoken about life in the other realms of the spirit world. Can you recall anything he said that might be of interest?
No, not really. Mike, you got me on the spot there. He's talked, I know he calls it, he used to call it the Summerland. And he's talked about places, you know, when people have asked about young children who have passed over into other realms. And he's talked about places there where, you know, something I'm recalling now is that those perhaps who have left the earth plane, not of children, but say older people who have left the earth plane in rather a distressed state, be it through an illness or, you know, whatever it may be, that often those those people, those souls, are taken to this place where the young children are adjusting. And because it is such a beautiful place to be, because they are so happy there, and it's full of laughter, you know, and he's sort of shown me children as an image sort of thing of children dancing around, holding hands with flowers in their hair, and hearing so much laughter and joy and love, and that these damaged and wounded souls are taken there just to sit and be healed within that energy, you know. I feel there, you know, people, if we had the knowledge, one could talk non-stop for 1,000 years about all the different levels and vibrations and all the different things that take place there, because I believe it from what I'm aware of, it's as that thought creates reality, that's what happens there as well, but it is instant. So depending on the level of where your soul is in and how much you have evolved within yourself, then that is where you can reside, as you like, very much on the earth plane in a way. But you know, if you still believe that you need a house to live in, then there will be one for you. If you know that you don't, then there won't be one. If you still feel that your body needs food and you need your body, then that is what you'll see until you realize that you don't have a body, you know. It's there's so much to it, but I do believe, Mike, and I, you know, it's a great comfort to many, but for me, my knowledge is that when you go there, the word I want to say is it is a heaven compared to the difficulties that we might have to deal with down here.
So I take it that you haven't actually been out of the body and entered those realms yourself.
I wish. I wish. I you know, this meditation, many people ask me, how can I meditate? How do I get there? To be honest, I am still learning very much myself. When I'm tuning in before a reading or before, you know, the energies are going to work with me, I seem to be able to instantly to go somewhere else, and that somewhere else is nowhere. That's the only thing, way I can describe it in words. It's just in a nowhere place. It's not in a beautiful garden or anything like that. It's just I'm off, I'm out, and yet I'm aware. But when I meditate, you know, I struggle, like many people do, to stop thinking of the shopping or have other thoughts come in, and to try to concentrate, and sometimes I succeed a lot more than other times, and I feel myself go off into this place. I think people with meditation, and we are asked, you know, by White Cloud certainly, and the Federation, everybody, it seems, you know, asks us all to meditate for 10 minutes a day, just to switch off, because that will help us connect with our higher soul so easily. It will help our lives down here and bring about your involvement. But I think it's just really a matter of trying, as opposed to saying, I can't, I don't know how to, it never happens, it doesn't work for me. Keep trying. Just I think a good thing to say that I think Eckhart Tolle said was, I am aware I am not thinking. And if you take deep breaths and say, I am aware I am not thinking, and imagine your eyes going up in your head, that seems to help a lot. But it doesn't, I feel people think that they're meant to see somewhere and be somewhere, and if they don't, then it hasn't worked. But I don't think that's the case at all. A lot of people feel they've fallen to sleep, and I don't think they have. They've been so far gone elsewhere that when they come back, they simply can't remember it, but they hadn't actually fallen to sleep like they thought they had, you know. So I have been to places, but I do know of people that seem to have the most wonderful experiences in meditation, and I envy them greatly, because I either go right out or I'm sort of semi there. How about you, Mike? How do you go with meditation? Do you go other places?
No, I don't. I find it very relaxing. I do miss little bits of time. I remember many years ago, when I was in a group meditation with about 45 people at one of these exhibitions, they had us all in a room, all sitting in chairs all around the side walls. It was taken by, I think it was the Maitreya, and it was the first time that I was called back from the meditation, and I thought about 15 minutes had gone by, and it was actually 45 minutes, and I completely lost track of time. That was a rather strange one for me. So perhaps I went somewhere, but I had no recollection of it. But I've got a good idea for you with your meditation, how to get better. You buy one of your guided meditation CDs.
I'd never thought of that.
Well, I take it you still have them now available.
Yes, I do. I have one CD which has 5 10-minute meditations, which are guided, you know, White Cloud direct voice, and I have a set of 5 CDs that are 45 minutes long for each one of them. You can buy those individually on my website, or you can buy them as a set. And I do use those. You know, definitely if I've only got 10 minutes, then I will put a 10-minute one on, and you know, definitely I enjoy them, because I think White Cloud's energy just seems to put you in a more relaxed space. And when I have time to do the 45-minute ones, as I say, I follow it because they're guided. But again, it's about, I think, you know, really focusing and switching off and just getting in that zone, as opposed to allowing other thoughts, as they tend to do, to try and creep in, you know.
Yes, indeed, yes. No, it's right. There are various recommendations for doing meditation. I like to have some nice, soft, suitable music in the background, because I think that's really conducive to relaxation as well. So yeah, it depends how you approach it.
And I do think, you know, practice makes perfect, as they say. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you know, it's just I think it's very the most valid point is that to make that time to do it, and that in itself, you know, I find when I allow myself the time to meditate on a regular daily basis, even if it is for the 10 minutes, you know, within sort of 4 or 5 days, I find myself in a much happier disposition. And you know, that I think that is quite another good point, is that people might not feel they've got anything from the meditation, but they have, and that in your everyday life you then find yourself that things are working better for you, things are flowing more easily, and you just generally feel better within your everyday life. And I think that is the whole point of what the meditative state is about, to bring that higher energy down through, and then it's being able to flow through in your normal, you know, everyday living. I believe that is, you know, it seems how that happens to me. And, you know, definitely if you see people that meditate every day, they do seem to be in a much happier space than people that don't.
I think it helps you to understand how to calm yourself down if you're in a situation perhaps where a lot is going on around you that could be disruptive. You get to the point where you can suddenly pull the shutter down, I think, and you can hold that sort of calm, relaxed feeling.
Definitely.
I want to talk about your books, Ross, because we started a bit late, so we're going right through, for me, to the end of the hour. But I need the last couple of minutes to announce next week's guest.
Sure.
But I'd like to give you time. Now, just quickly mentioning your books, you've got a fourth one, which isn't actually by White Cloud, called The Bridge. Has that been published yet?
Yep, that's published. That's out and published. And that's available again on my website. That's my first communications with the Federation of Light. And the fifth one is Snapshot, which is not available as a published book, but it is available as an e-book.
Right, okay. So give our listeners your website address.
It is www.blossomgoodchild.com.
Now, you'll also need to give them your email address, if I am correct, in as much that you still send out free messages and also information to keep them up to date on forthcoming books, So is that still correct, that information?
And yeah, I do a monthly newsletter. So if they go to my website, on the left-hand side, there is a little place there where you can enter your email address and right. press subscribe, and that will go into my special program, which then puts them on the list so that they receive any updates and monthly newsletters from me, and lets them, everybody know what's going on.
I'm not quite sure why I didn't subscribe myself.
Well, it's about time you did, I feel, Mike.
Yes, I honestly do like to keep up with what you're doing and what you've got to say. And you've got plenty to say, obviously. At least that's what they tell me.
Clearly. Yes, well, I should be looking forward to you putting your email address on my mailing list.
Right, I will, yes, I will. I like the idea. Okay. I don't know whether it was your expression or one of White Clouds, but you've coined the phrase, if it ain't fun, don't do it. Was that your original idea?
Oh, I can't even remember. I have no recollection at all of either White Cloud or myself. Obviously having too much fun.
Yes, I thought it came.
Are you sure that was me?
I thought that was a very good expression.
Well, I think it is. I think I might take a leaf out of your book and adhere to that.
Oh, it's not that we've always got an absolute choice in the matter, but I think it's a good idea. I've always liked your expression, talking about expressions, when you use the sort of signing off love, light and laughter. And I think laughter is such a good medicine. I think that's a rather nice touch.
Absolutely. Love, light, laughter and golden rays. That's my thing. Just to send golden rays from your heart to anyone and anything. And always, as you say, just to remember about laughter, because it does raise the vibration, as White Cloud says. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you can't be miserable and laugh. At least I don't think you can.
Not that I'm aware of. I could be in a miserable situation, perhaps, but the laughter, and I'd rather have laughter lines on my aging face as opposed to the stressed ones, you know.
Absolutely, yes. Well, it's amazing how time flies when we're having fun here. we've almost reached the end of the program, in as much as I've said that I need the last couple of minutes to announce my next guest. So thank you very much for coming on again. No doubt we will have you again in the near future and find out what's been happening. And it looks like being...
That would be great, Mike. And I really do appreciate you. I feel very honoured for you to ask me to be on your programme. So it really is an honour to talk to you. So thank you very much indeed.
All right, it's an honour to talk to you as well. Thank you very much. We'll keep in touch.
Take care. We will do. Yes. Take care. Bye-bye, Mike. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I thought that was a very excellent interview, very interesting. My guest next week will be Dr. Matthew B. James. He speaks on about the Hoonas and practicing Hoona, which is the breathing daily. He practices also, or talks about practicing, awakening meditation, forgiveness and various other things, and he's quite an expert on it. So there's something a little bit different, which I'm certainly looking forward to. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can join me next week. God bless you all.